So it's my absolute privilege this morning to bring the word. And I'm not wearing heels, so most of you won't be able to see me. You can see some people at the back, like, stretching a bit. So I don't know what we're going to do. I think I'll have to stand up here. Can you see me now? Thank you. Just want to open in prayer for myself mostly. Lord, I thank you so much for the greatest privilege of your word, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much that we get to come here today, that we get to hear from you today, Lord. Holy Father, we thank you that we can lay down every vain imagination. We can lay down every distraction. In seeking you, God, this day, we seek you, God. We seek your word. We seek your presence. We seek a life-changing meeting with the Most High. So, Father, I thank you that I take all authority in the name of Jesus over every principality and power. I thank you, Lord, that you have given me every authority to bring this word, and I just speak it now, Lord. I thank you that your word will go forth to do what you have intended for it to do. I thank you that your word brings life, brings healing, and brings power. Father, we bless you this morning, and we open up our hearts wide to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, like I said, it's an absolute privilege. So this morning, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. For some of you that don't know me, my name is Katerina Akavalos. It feels very weird being up here, so I'm actually going to have to rearrange everything. I'm pregnant, so I can change my mind a lot of times. Thank you, Brett. Sorry for those of you that can't see me. It's just too weird up there. So I want to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Katerina Kavalos. I'm a wife to Yanni. You've got to admit, the smartest dressed pastor you've ever seen. Talk about fashion. I'm a mother to Alexander, who will be joining us in 3 months. Amen. I am a friend. I have the privilege of living in the most beautiful place on earth, in Franschhoek. I was born to Greek immigrant parents in a very small town called Ishawi in KwaZulu-Natal. Happened totally by accident, but it happened. I speak Greek and English quite fluently, speak Afrikaans and Spanish quite badly. I've traveled quite extensively, but I've never been to Paris. So now that's just a bit of information about me. And I'd like to ask you a question. That little bit of information, do you think, just by knowing those few facts about me, do you think you know me? Does any of that information give you an inkling as to who I really am? I can even carry on and tell you much, much more. I can tell you that I love cuddles, and I love to cook, and I love to read. Does that tell you anything about me? And even if I go further and I tell you about my past, my very shady past, how I chose to live my life up until 33 years old, I could tell you and shock you, probably, maybe, and tell you how I lived hard and fast. That was my rule. You know, I was going to die young. That sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man. Tough chick. Do you still think that you know anything about me? You see, you don't, because up until the age of 33 years old, when down a very dusty road in California, the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, came and reached down and gave me his hand as my savior on our white horse. Up until that moment, I didn't even know what defined me. You see, I was in the midst of an identity crisis. And that's what the title of my sermon is today. I believe we're all in the midst of an identity crisis. And so, Yanni and I were married in 2004. Then at that time, I was 32 years old. I was a marketing director of a company in Johannesburg. I considered myself very successful. I had fought my way to the top. No joke. Literally fought my way to the top. I had many friends. I was, in my mind, very popular, very successful, very happening. I cared very much about the way I looked and what other people's perception was of me. Okay? But I thought I'd had it pretty sorted out. So what happened was, Yanni and I met. We were two of a kind, wild as they come. And our lives became that sex, drugs, and rock and roll, just married. And we wild parties. We were heading one way downhill, one way. And the Lord, by his grace, came and reached out his hand. I've told you guys so many times. I saw it almost like we were in a whirlpool going down, like this little boat. And he came and reached down and he took our little boat and he stuck it in the middle of America, a little tiny, tiny town called Riverdale in Fresno, which is like, can't even tell you how tiny it is. One road, no traffic lights, but we've heard the story before. But you know, until that time, I thought I was very sorted. So God, what he came and did in both our lives, is he came and removed everything that we thought defined us. Everything. I couldn't work. None of my friends were around. Didn't have my own car. I had nothing. Well, I mean, nothing, almost. So I started to experience this insane loneliness, this insane, like, I actually experienced God take a mirror, a big mirror, and put it in front of me, and he said, Kat, who are you? Who are you? Take away everything that you think defines you. Who are you? And I tell you what, I was petrified. All I saw was fear and emptiness and this little girl who had no idea. I had no idea who I was. But you see, he reached into that. He reached into that patheticness, and he started to tell me who I was. See, until that moment that I accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't know who I was. But from that moment on, I started to know. Because as I went to the Word, God was saying to me, Kat, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Until that moment, I thought I was a big mistake. Right at that point, I realized my life, I thought that I was a big mistake. That's what I've really, really felt deep in my heart. That's what everything was covering. That I'm a big mistake. And God said, no, Kat, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then I turned, so if you turn to Psalms 139, that, you know, the Word of God started to minister to me. And as I started to meditate on what God had to say about me, and if you read it with me, I want to read the Word of you this morning. Psalm 139 from 13. For your purposes, it's up on the presentation. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And when I read this, it's like, what is fearfully, wonderfully made? Do you understand that when you hear it? Because, I mean, doesn't the word fearfully, just what is that? You know? And if you go and look it up, that's the same scripture that he talks about in Proverbs 1:7, when he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's that same word. It's an awe. So what God is saying, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in, that you're awe-inspiring. That is who you are. You're wonderful. In Psalm 8, verse 3, it says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. And that is what I started to understand. God cares for me. God cares for me. He cares for you. And guys, don't sit and look at me today like you hear. I know that we hear this all the time. Okay? But what do we meditate on? See, this is the truth. This morning, the truth is going to set us free. We hear the truth all the time. But what do we meditate on? We don't meditate on the truth. We meditate on the lies that is in our soul. We meditate on what the enemy has told us for years and years and years. You are unworthy. You are undefined. You are an orphan. But what does God say? God says, I care for you. See, it's the difference between what we feel and what we are. I want you to actually try and get this today because I'm going to try and create an image of two positions. And if you can get this right in your head, in our heads, because this is a revelation for all of us to live by, it's what we feel versus what we are. Okay, and meditation brings revelation. You hear that? Meditation brings the revelation. So I can feel afraid. I'm standing over here, and I can feel afraid. But what does God say? 2 Timothy 1:7, what does God say? I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I can feel I don't have confidence. But what does God say? In Christ, you can do all things. Proverbs 3:26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Amen. If you go and do a Google search, I really encourage you to do this. For those of you that use the Google, go and do a Google search on self-confidence. What does the Bible say about self-confidence? And it doesn't say anything much about self-confidence, but it says everything. You will print out pages of scriptures on confidence in Christ, in who you are in Christ. And that is what we are to meditate on. That is our identity. That is the truth. The Bible calls us to be warriors. Warriors, soldiers, mighty warriors. Not warriors as in, oh, a worry. He does. He calls us to be great warriors. The Bible says he gave us a sword to wield against the enemy. And there's this amazing, I was reading this book and it gives this God's word, if you just change a couple of letters, I've actually put it up there. God's word equals God's sword. He's given us a sword to wield against the enemy, an enemy that has been beaten. The victory is the Lord's. He has overcome, but we are to wield that victory every day in the way we meditate, the way we speak. That is how we overcome. God's word is God's sword. And in your hands, you have a sword. And what is that sword? It's God's word and your prayer. Are you speaking the word? Are you praying the word? Are you speaking the truth? Or are you speaking the doubt, the lies? Much of what the Lord allows in our lives is not for us to just sit back and just, well, you know, the Lord has brought us to this. He does it. He allows things in our lives to get us to stand up. As warriors, he allows things to allow us to stand up and take our swords. God wants us to know how to use the weapons that he's given us. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The power of life and death is in your mouth. You need to be saying what the word of God says about you. I know how it feels. I know the enemy comes against us. We've got stuff deep in our hearts that has been sitting there for decades from our birth. You know, Yanni and I watched a movie recently, a French movie, and there was this chap whose mother just spoke death to him from the moment he was born. Useless. You are nothing. Why were you ever born? You are a big oaf. Good for nothing. And this man grew to totally believe that. He just totally accepted that about himself. But I'm here to tell you today that that is not what God is saying about you. And we need to be speaking what God says about us. If you feel useless, if you feel worthless, if you say, I don't have an education, Ken. I don't I don't have the money. I don't have the guts. Why would God use me? You know what he says? He says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In you, I put everything. You know, when God made you, who are you to criticize what God made? When God made you, he stood back and he said, it is good. That's what God says. So we are to speak what he says. The secret is to lose sight of ourselves. Like I said, we stand here and we say one thing. This is how I feel. But it's to lose sight of that and to step into where you are in Christ. Christ says, this is where you belong. I got a quote here from Joyce Myers. It says, in the world is in identity crisis. Physiosocial state of disorientation and role reversal. People don't know who they are, what they are, why they are here, and it's creating a mess. Everyone is running around trying to please other people, trying to be what everyone thinks they should be. That's exactly what's going on. And it happens in the church as well. It happens to us. I know for me, I'll tell you about the experience I had with the Lord in 2004, but recently I found myself in an absolute state of frenzy, of striving again. Again, coming to the place because the enemy doesn't let go. Okay, we've got to keep fighting. And you've got to keep telling him, you know what, I can't do it, but in Christ, okay, I can do all things. But he comes against you and it's like, you've got to perform. You've got to do it. So now here we are, saved, born again, religious, still striving, still beating ourselves, still confused, still not speaking the truth of ourselves. And God just came in and he just said, can slow down. Let me buy you flowers. Let me tell you how beautiful you are. Let me tell you how much I absolutely adore you just the way you are. But Lord, I'm not good enough. I'm too loud. I'm too much. I'm not enough. It's everything. And that's what we just sit and meditate on instead of, you're the apple of my eye. You're my beloved. Read Song of Songs. Read it. See what he feels about you. Stop trying to be something you're not. Be happy with who you are. You are beautiful. You are perfect. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And each of us have our own very unique gifts. You know, we are not. I don't have to be what Delestie Bell is. I can look at this woman and be in awe of her. I honor her. But I cannot envy her gifts. I have my own. And if I don't appreciate my own, I cannot appreciate her gift to this world. Do you understand that? When you start to criticize and moan and stop to look at yourself and say, I'm not good enough, I can't appreciate anybody else's gifts. What? Why? Because all I'm doing is comparing myself and putting down that gift as well. So, celebrate who you are. God does. If you don't know who you are in Christ, let him tell you. If you know, want to know your identity, meditate on the word. You see, God chose us. God chose us. The creator of everything chose us. It says, so if you don't believe me, turn with me to Ephesians 1:4. No. Okay. Look at the board. Ephesians 1:4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We are already all the things that it says in here. We are already everything in Christ as it says it in the word. In him we have redemption. We have inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ. In ourselves we can do nothing. In ourselves we are guaranteed to fail. We are guaranteed to mess up in ourselves. But in Christ, we can do all things. God loves us unconditionally. There's nothing we can do, nothing that we can do to make him love us more. Guys, these are not empty words. This is who you are, beloved. There is nothing you can do to make him love you more, but you need to believe. You need to believe. You need to meditate on the word. You want to know your identity? Find out what it is. But then you need to believe. And how are you going to believe someone you don't know? How am I to believe the author of this Bible if I don't know him? If I don't come to him and accept him as the lover of my soul and say, let me sit at your feet. You speak it over me. Here is tender words. His heart for you. You cannot accept this. You cannot accept your worth if you do not believe. We need to believe what the Bible says about us because everything comes from faith. Everything we have comes from faith. Do you know that? The Bible says it's faith that pleases God. So where do we get our value and our worth? Where do we get our value and our worth? Not where the world says. Not where the world says. The world says it's from your education, and I'm not against education, hear me. It does not define you. It's from your wealth. It's not. It does not define you. We are spirit above all. Do you know that? Nothing of this world will come with us. For all eternity. Do you know that there's an eternity? Okay. You will be defined by the one who loves you. Nothing will come with you. Nothing. Not even your children. They're not going to be your kids. Nothing will define you but the one who loves you. God gave us a life of abundance and purpose. And the devil comes to lie to us, to fill us with doubt. So I sometimes feel like we can't make it on our own. I think I've told you guys that when Yanni recently went to the Ukraine, I had my own little meltdown. And it was quite an amazing time, though, because it was a two-week period where the Lord really brought me back to him. He really brought me back to, like I said, sitting at his feet, dancing with him. He reminded me again how to dance. And he brought me back to that place of believing what he had to say about me. Because my husband, I had started to invest everything that was meant to be for the lover of my soul to my husband. I started to place all my worth in him, all my identity in him, and my everything was in my husband. I started doing that. I placed him in a place he should not have been in. Do you understand that? And God came in that time, and he just wooed me, and it was unbelievable. I cannot tell you. He just brought me back to a place of understanding that he is the one that defines me. No one and nothing. He gives me worth. He lifts me up. And he wants to do the same for you today, guys. We need to know this because the enemy has got us running around talking nonsense. We are saying what he says about us and not what God says about us. In him, I am a princess warrior. I just want to show you this very short clip. It's a few minutes, and it's by Louis Giglio. And I find it quite exciting, and I think it explains this in him pretty well.
And I'll tell you how you can know tonight that God will always hold you together, no matter what. It's by looking a little deeper into the human body, and it's a little protein molecule called laminin. And that's about what I felt the first time I heard that. Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. introduces himself to me, says, how are you doing? I just want to say hello. I said, it's nice to meet you. He says, you guys winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here? I said, well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia. He said, well, what's next for you? I said, I'm going to be preaching the next two Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta. He said, oh, cool. What are you preaching on? I said, well, the series is on the glory of God and the human body. He said, that's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. Give me your talk. And I was like, oh, wow. I wasn't quite yet ready to unload the talk for a molecular biologist. So I kind of stumbled through what I had, and he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, uh-huh, that's good. And then he says, well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right? I said, I don't have a left hook yet. He said, oh, Louie. Oh man, your left hook is laminin. And I'm totally blank on laminin. He goes, Louie, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins? I'm like, no. He said, Louie, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule. And I'm like, all right. He said, no, Louie, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louie. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them. He said, no. You got to see laminin. I'm like, okay, let's see it. He said, no, you need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin. I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out, he writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin, and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, wow. That's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo! I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now, okay? This is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I just can't believe it. I emailed that guy back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, you want to see an actual laminin molecule? I'm like, oh no, man, the diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else. I'm like, yes! And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. Like, how crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this. It's crazy. And he, Jesus, is before all things. And in him, that is in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on a cross. And I'll tell you how you can know tonight that God,
thank you,
will always.
Amen. It's quite an amazing presentation, eh? See, in him, in Christ, all things, in Christ, you are every promise that this Bible says you are, that the Word of God, your sword, says you are. So I just want to put it down practically for you. Practically, how do we get to terms with our identity and worth as Christ says it is, not as the world defines it? Number one, understand the promises of God. Meditate on your identity. Guys, meditation will bring the revelation. The more we know the word, the more we eat the word, the more we wield the sword, revelation will come. So that's the first one. Number two, take on the life Christ offers. Take it, man. Take it by relationship with him. Acceptance. Open up your heart. Accept the words that he washes over you. The Lord, the Bible says he washes us with his word. Accept it. And that comes from revelation. So believe what you are in Christ. And thirdly, start to live out of the abundance. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, it's not just hearing of the word. It's walking in it. It's walking in it. And guys, this is the danger here. We come to church. We hear the word. In our quiet time, God gives us word. Direct word to our hearts. Revelation. And so often, we get all fuzzy about it. We think, maybe even do a few amens. And then what do? We walk away and we don't apply the word. And that's a major danger. Because now you've received revelation. Now you're held accountable. Do you know that? The Lord holds us accountable for what we know. And so often we walk away and we don't apply what the word says. Bless you. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So that's how we walk in the abundance. We become doers. We become obedient to what the word says. We take our sword and we wield it. We take a stand against the lies of the enemy. We take a stand. During the week, you meditate, feed. Until you know the word and you believe the word and you can take action against the lies of the enemy. And I just want to, this morning we're going to take communion. But I actually want you to take a moment. I want you to hear this. This is what God says over you. I want to read it to you. Can you close your eyes for a minute? This is what the living God, Yahweh, speaks over you. He says, I love you. I call you by name and pursue you with everlasting love constantly. I formed you in the womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you were to think of yourself as I think of you, oh, how different you would be. I want you to love yourself as I love you. That is what God says. That is a command this morning. That is command that demands action. God says, love yourself as I love you. So this morning as we're going to take communion, I want you to take a moment. The Bible says, bring your hearts before the Lord. Repent. Forgive people who've hurt you. But this morning, I want you to forgive yourself. And I want you to make a a covenant. I want you to take that bread and that wine and make covenant with the Lord. To agree with him. Stand in agreement with what God says about you. It is powerful. The Bible says there is power in the prayer of agreement. So I want each and every one of you to renounce all the lies that the devil has told you about yourself. Any lie, any fear, any unworthiness, any masks that you've been wearing because you think you have to wear them to impress people. I want you to bring your identity this morning and say, Lord, you wash me. Will you do that this morning? Amen. Can we have some worship? Ashes, can you hand out the... Hallelujah.